Right, we're continuing in Siman Pei Tes. Yesterday we started to discuss not only the background, the basic sugya of how much to wait or what you need to do in between eating milchigs, in between eating fleishigs and milchigs. We also discussed the basic shitos and rishonim and the various minhagim. So what's left to discuss? So a number of things are left to discuss. Well, what we left off with yesterday, we welcome all the Zoomers. What we left off with yesterday was the Machlokas Rambam and Rashi as to why it is that we wait between Milchigs and Fleishigs. And we pointed out, of course, that there is that third Shita of the Plesi. So we have to keep that in mind as well, that the Plesi holds that the whole thing is based on digestion. But again, Shita Sarambam, the Rambam writes in Perek Tes Halacha Chav Ches, that mipnei habasar shel bein hashinayim she'eino sar bekinuach, that all of this is because of the basar shel bein hashinayim that is not removed just by kinuach, just by cleaning out your mouth. So you need to wait 6 hours on account of the basar shel bein hashinayim. Rashi kuf hey amaral of tibur maskel aser mishum de basar motzi shomen v'hu nidbak b'peh u'ma'arich b'taymo, that there is a certain strength of flavor that is, or fattiness of the meat, that the fattiness of the meat leaves in one's mouth or in one's system. I don't know if it's only the mouth or maybe even like the entire basic digestive system, and it takes a while to digest, and the flavor can be emitted from the stomach for that period of time, and therefore you have to wait that period of time. And the Taz and Sivkat Nalef over here quotes both of these shitos. Now, lest you say, "Come on, it's not really two different shitos; they're both really true." Whatever, you're making a machlokas when there's not a machlokas. So, no less an authority than the Tur tells us that this is in fact a machlokas, and that there are nafkaminas between these two shitos. So, there are a few nafkaminas between Rashi and the Rambam. The Bach Sivkat Nalef, the Gra Sivkat Nidalev mentions these nafkaminas, and we are machmir la halacha for both of the shitos. So whatever nafkaminas we're going to give, we're going to have to understand that we're not going to paskin one way or the other. We're going to be machmir in both directions. So nafkamina number one, let's say a person is only chewing on a piece of meat, but he doesn't swallow the piece of meat. Why would you chew on a piece of meat that you're not going to swallow? So you're chewing on it. The example that's given is you chew on it for a baby. That babies sometimes have a hard time chomping on more difficult to digest food, so you chew on it to break it down for a child. They used to not have blenders. Now it's an easier thing. You could just put it in a blender and break it down for a child, but it used to be that a parent would chew on the meat for a baby. So if you chew on meat for a baby and you don't swallow it, according to the Rambam, you need to wait 6 hours because the meat might have gotten stuck in between your teeth, meaning the stomach. That happens during the chewing process. So you have the concern of basar ben hashinayim, but according to Rashi, you probably don't have to wait because that has to the strong flavor that remains from meat has something to do with the digestion. Meaning, flavor is probably not even the right word to use. It's probably more than that. You know, sometimes like you feel the food, like maybe it only happens at my age. Like you guys are a little younger, so like you could be chowing at like 3 a.m. and not feel it. But for those of us who don't have like digestive systems made out of iron, you know, when you eat something, like you'll feel it here for like a while, and like if I were to eat chalent at like, you know, at nighttime, I just wouldn't sleep that night. It would just like you realize going in, okay, this is I'm either going to eat this or I will sleep tonight, you know. So it's probably relating to that. That's probably what Rashi is referring to, which makes it a little closer to what the Plesi was saying as far as digestion is concerned. So if you say like Rashi, so l'chora that doesn't happen if you don't really ingest the food. The Tur mentions this nafkamina. The Tur mentions that this is a nafkamina, but the Levush thinks that it's not really a nafkamina. The Levush writes that even according to Rashi, you'd have to wait 6 hours because it's not as we're describing as you're taking it down, just the fact that you had the flavor of the meat in your mouth. Even according to Rashi, that would be enough to require waiting 6 hours. Shach quotes the Levush, rejects the Levush, the Shach and Sivkot and Beis. If you take a look at Chidushi Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he's medayik from the Lashon of the Ramah, right? When the Ramah talks about how long to wait between Fleishigs and Milchigs, the Ramah writes, V'yesh medaktikin lahamtin sheish sha'os achar achilas basar l'gvina. achra chilz basar legvin. That there are those that are medaktikin to wait 6 hours after achilas basar to gvina. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, efshar didiyek baseh. That this whole yesh metaktikin is only the minug to be machmir for 6 hours, which again, according to the Ramah, is not halacha, it's only a minug. So the minug for 6 hours is only a minug when there was in fact an achila. But if it was not an achila, it was only l'isa, it was only chewing, then they're matir l'gamri, then there's no... There's not even a minhag to be machmir, especially since half the Rishonim are matir anyway with just chewing, meaning since it's machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam to begin with. And the whole thing of waiting 6 hours according to Rama is only a minhag, so you put the Shitas Rashi together with the fact that it's only a minhag, and then, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, there's no need to wait after chewing. In the Pischei Tshuva and Sivkat Nalef, he writes, "V'mlois latino k'tavshel sheish v'shuman l'chora l'kala peirushemein tzarech lahamtin demoshech leka kiven delo achal ubein shinayim leka." I don't know why he assumes that. He says that if you chew, then you don't have to worry about bein shinayim either. Then even according to the Rambam, you don't have anything to worry about. But he writes, "El demikol makom kasevim gadim diyesh lahach milamtin sheish shalos mishum lo plug v'lo lifrot geder." So the Pischei Tshuva suggests that neither reason would apply, and even though neither reason would apply, you would still be machmir. So, you know, it comes out a little funny. We tried to suggest the have this machlokes Rambam Rashi, and here's a clean nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam, right? Bein Hashinayim applies, the Shuman does not apply. But then we pointed out that there's a good argument to be made that both Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Rambam, you do have a concern. And then we pointed out there's a good argument to be made, and Pischei Tshuva makes the argument that Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Rambam, there's no need to wait. And ironically, he who holds that there's no need to wait at all, if you just Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Rambam, there will be no need to wait, holds that we're machmir, because it's a low plug. Whereas if you suggest, like the tour suggested, that it's completely dependent on Rashi and the Rambam, so then you're going to that is completely dependent on Rashi and the Rambam, and you assume that that's what the Rama was working with. That's the assumption the Rama was working with. So that's where Rabbi Kiva Eger writes that we could be makel, that we don't have to say that it's totally on Rashi and the Rambam. We could be makel on the 6 hours, since half the Rishonim think. Since la halach, you don't really need to wait the 6 hours anyway. So it's counterintuitive, right? You would think that if it's telling the machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, you're going to be more machmir than someone who thinks that all the Rishonim tell you it's perfectly fine. But it turns out, Pischei Tshuva, who thinks all the Rishonim will tell you it's perfectly fine, say, no, you got to be machmir, because it's a low plug. But the Ramah, who probably assumes it's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, thinks that you could be makel, even though generally we're machmir for both shitos, because the whole inyan of waiting 6 hours is only, at least the way Rabbi Kiva Eger understands it, the whole inyan of waiting 6 hours is only a chumrah to begin with. So that is as far as chewing on meat without swallowing it. Another nafkamina might be, what if you swallow without chewing, right? You reverse it. If you swallow without chewing it, l'chora, according to Rashi, you still have the digestive and flavor issue, whereas the basar ben hashinayim is not an issue. If you put some gravy in your mouth to taste the gravy, so Darkei Tshuva quotes Hagos Marashak that when you chew for a baby, you have to wait, implying that if you just taste without chewing it, then you don't have to wait. That without the chewing, then you don't have to wait at all. And that's the pesach of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And Emes Liakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky wrote a very famous sefer, Emes Liakov on Chumash. That's the first Emes Liakov that came out. But subsequent to that, they printed Emes Liakovs on Shas and Emes Liakov on Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. So on Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch is one volume, very beautiful ha'aros, not long shiurim, simple, beautiful ha'aros on Shulchan Aruch. So if you look in the Emes Liakov on Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky paskins that if you just taste without chewing it, then for sure you can be makel. Now, l'chora, if you say like the Pischei Tshuva, that even when there's no concern bein l'Rashi, bein l'Rambam, it's a low plug, l'chora, you should have to be machmir even when you taste it. But if you're assuming like Rabbi Kiva Eger that it's subject to that to that machloka, I mean, if you assume like the Torah rather, that it's subject to that machlokas, so then you could argue that if you're tasting without chewing, there's more room to be makil. This is very relevant to, let's say, a woman tastes chicken soup on Erev Shabbos as she's preparing for Shabbos, and then she still wants to have like a coffee right before Shabbos, or maybe she's making the chicken soup in the morning, or she's making meatballs in the morning, she wants to taste the gravy in the morning, and she still wants to be able to have milchig for lunch. She needs her pre-Shabbos froyo, or whatever you know, whatever you know, treats that that she gets, that she awards, you know, herself with after preparing for Shabbos. So, so it's very nogei lemaisa as far as that is concerned. I don't know. I don't know what the minhag is. I think most people wouldn't eat milchigs after putting any fleishig in their mouth at all. But there is certainly room to be makel. So, question: if you got in a Yaakov Kamenetsky's case of tasting without chewing, or talking about spitting out or swallowing? Ah. So that's important, because if you if we're talking about spitting out, there's obviously much more room to be makil, right? If you're spitting it out, then you really have much less of Rashi to be concerned with, and then it's not even, then it's Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Rambam, it will be totally fine. If you're talking about where you put it in your mouth and you swallow it, then it's subject to that Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, and L'Chora, we'd have to be Machmir, because we're Machmir for both Deos. So I think Rabbi Yaakov was talking about where you put it on the tongue and then just spit it out just to get the flavor, just to taste for the flavor. Another potential nafkamina is what happens if you actually find meat in your teeth after 6 hours. You know, like you feel something and you like pull it out. So there are two things you could do, right? The normal, you find some meat in your teeth and you just, you know, clean it off in a tissue and throw it out, right? Or you don't have any tissue, no one's looking, right? So you just, take, you know, swallow the piece of meat that you just found between your teeth. But it's been sitting there for 6 hours. So according to the Rambam, there's no need to wait, because the meat in the teeth is not considered meat anymore. After 6 hours, it's considered completely digested, because the whole vort of waiting 6 hours is basar ben hashinayim, and we assume that after 6 hours, it's no longer considered basar. Say right, he must hold that it loses the status of basar. According to Rashi, no matter how much time passes, l'chora, it's still going to be considered meat. We don't have any such chiddush that basar ben hashinayim loses its status of basar. And again, we try to be machmir both according to Rashi and the Rambam.
Yeah. How did the parsha Rambam know that the var was that it's no longer considered basar? Maybe 6 hours of the normal gevul up until which you have to be flushed. After which you don't even check your teeth. But if you actually find basar, then
It's a very fair point. I don't know why we don't assume, even though like early poskim are reading the Rambam, that are making that assumption in the Rambam, but I don't know why we can't just assume that the Rambam is saying basar ben hashinayim is a chashash within the first 6 hours of eating meat, and after 6 hours you have to be choshish for it, but if you find it, then it's going to be a problem. They seem not to assume that way.
I mean, isn't that kind of strange? Like, after that, they're supposed to
know
that
you
didn't eat after 6 hours. Like
what?
Like, where did 6 hours come? Like, all of a sudden, in 6 hours, you're not going to find meat between your teeth?
I don't know. And after 6 hours, it's broken down enough by your saliva that it's no longer meat? I mean, what's a...
Okay, but
I mean, at some point in time, things get dislodged. Things become loose over time. Right? You sometimes have a meal, and like an hour later, all of a sudden, like, you feel something... Maybe I just have bad teeth. Am I the only one that happens to? I don't know. Sometimes, a while later... something just becomes dislodged. They used to all have bad teeth, so even if it's just me, because I have bad teeth, but you know, there was no such thing as like fillings. You know, everyone had all these extra spaces in their mouth, and you know, so I don't know. It's not so crazy. It doesn't seem so crazy to me.
I mean, it's not like no same time again, for example, like.
Aldaf Kula Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rabbi Joshua, right? They give a shear, and that's it, and that's the Okay. Another potential nafkamina, Knessa Gedola in Sivkat and Yud Gimel, says that if you eat a tavshil shel basar that doesn't have any chatichos of basar in it, so according to Rashi, you need to wait 6 hours because the food has the shuman of the basar. Meaning, if it's all about the shuman, it's all about the fat and the flavor, and that, so you have the gravy of the meatballs. So even though it's not actual meat, there are no chatichos of meat in the gravy, but it gives you that full richness of flavor and heaviness of flavor of the meat. Whereas Bein HaShinayim is certainly not something that you'd have to be concerned about. And another final potential nafkamina, the Taz in Sifkat and Dalit says that waiting after eating aged cheese is a nafkamina. The Taz calls this a nafkamina. According to Rashi, since it has a very strong flavor, sometimes you'll eat something very cheesy and like you'll feel that also. I very rarely these days eat pizza, but on Motzei Shabbos for some reason, my wife and I, we went to be Menachem Avil somebody. I knew I was going to be up very late because of Slichos, and for some reason I was like very, very hungry. So on our way back, we wanted to stop at a place to pick something up to eat. We thought, you know, once we're out, might as well make a date of it. We'll go somewhere and, you know, sit outside somewhere. And Central Park was closed, and the coffee bar was packed. And Lamaisa, we ended up at a pizza store, and we ate, we brought it back with us. Ugh, oh my gosh, it was like bad enough that you went to sleep at 2 in the morning. The heaviness of the cheese was just like, I was thinking, oh, it's like hashkacha, that as we're about to learn the sugi of hard cheese, that this is happening. Like you feel that sense of the shuman of the cheese, of the heaviness of the cheese. So the Taz Taina is that according to Shitas Rashi, it's going to be a problem. Because according to the Rambam, cheese doesn't get stuck between your teeth. And even if it does get stuck there, there's no Gzeres HaKasuf that considers it to still be cheese. Right? Meaning the Pasuk that the Gemara quotes, Basar Din of Ben Hashinayim. So you see that there's a Din of Basar Ben Hashinayim, but there's no Din of Gvina Ben Hashinayim. So there's no Gzeres HaKasuf that considers it. If you learn, right, we went through yesterday, how to learn the Gemara Shakla Vitari over there, when the Gemara asks, Mahu, right, what's the din, what's the mitzias, what's the something about basar ben hashinayim? So the question is, mahu, what is it? Is it basar? And the Gemara's answer is, it's a pasuk, it's a gzeres hakasuv, that it is basar. So you only have such a gzeres hakasuv by basar, you don't have the gzeres hakasuv by gvina. And again, the Torah writes, we follow the chumras of both shitos. Prima Gadim raises the issue over here in Mishpat Zad Sivkan and Aleph, that the Gemara in Erevin tells us Ksil b'choshech holech, that if a person tries to follow the chumras of both the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, he's considered a fool walking in the darkness. That it's stupidity to just follow the chumras of every shita. You're never going to follow every chumra in the world. Rav Shechter often likes to quote the Tshuva Rav Meisha has to Lubavitcher Rebbe, when Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him, "How's it possible that Rav Meisha Feinstein, the Heilige Rav Meisha Feinstein, doesn't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin?" And part of Rav Meisha's response, although not his ultimate response, part of his response was, if I wanted to be machmir for every shita there is in terms of tefillin, and he does a quick cheshbon, I'd have to wear dozens and dozens of pairs of tefillin every day, because it's not just the machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, there are many machlokas. So you're going to be machmir for everything on everything, it's going to be crazy. You can't live life like that. Ultimately, Rav Meisha said, I can't find a decent sofer to write a pair of Rabbeinu Tam tefillin with Ksav Beis Yosef. It's only Chassidish Yosefim that are writing, so they're all writing with Ksav Ari, they're not writing with Ksav Beis Yosef. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe told him, I'll find someone. And he commissioned someone to write a pair of Rabbeinu Tam tefillin for Moshe. So I think toward the end of his life, he actually did wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin courtesy of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the mice that they tell in the family. So Prima Gadim raises a shaila. So isn't this Ksil B'choshech Holech that you're going to follow the chumras of both Rashi and the Rambam? Which is, I don't know, it's somewhat unusual to ask that question, because there are many places where we do say, try to be Yotze Kala Deos, right? That it's a two-sided machlokas, they both sound reasonable, they both have a basis to it. So we do have all the time, the whole Sefer Mishnah Berurah is basically based on that premise, that you try to be Yotze Kala Deos. It's not insane. But the Prima Gadim raises it as a question, and the Prima Gadim writes that over here it's not contradictory. Ksil b'choshech holech is when it's contradictory. Over here they could both be true, they're not mutually exclusive. Meaning it could be that there is both a concern of basar ben hashinayim and there's a concern of the shuman that's left, and either one is a good enough concern to make you wait 6 hours. So he says, and also, whenever we're machmir misafik, it's not always considered shtei chumros Hasoshos Adati. Shtei Chumras Soshos is when it's not really a suffix that you know that the Allah is like the Beis Hillel. But you're going to add on to be machmir like the Shitas Beis Shammai as well. So that's a foolish thing to do. But when you're not sure what the halacha is, so that's the premise of the entire Sefer Mishnah Berurah. When you're not sure what the halacha is, and it's reasonable to say one way or the other, to be machmir for both deos. According to Rashi, why can't we say that digestion flavor changes after 6 hours of staying between your teeth? That it changes after 6 hours. I think he thinks it's gone. Why would you? What would be the motivation to say that it changes? I think. After sitting between your teeth. I mean, you're saying that not in the digestion. That once that it's not going to have that strong flavor anymore. I see what you're saying. Yeah, for finding between your teeth after 6 hours. I don't know how to, I don't know how to prove one way or the other over here. You know, it's like a metzius, but it's like it's very much not an absolute metzius. It's more like an experiential thing. It's a very hard thing. I don't know how to prove one way or the other in something like this. Okay, those are the basic nafkaminas. Yeah.
Just in terms of teeth, the has is nafkamin between Amr and Rashi. Lachora, even Rashi should agree that there's no pasuk that says that.
No, Rashi holds that even the din by meat is not totally on the gzeris hakasuv.
I mean, why should this shuman be any different than meat between your feet? Can you require a kasuv to tell you that it's possible? Meaning, like, let's say my kavusa point, like even brachas, let's say.
Yeah.
So you would call something food once you've like eaten it already.
Right.
So
post can discuss what if you vomit. I didn't want to bring that up, but they discuss if you vomit it out and then you so it went through your mouth again. So then maybe that's enough gemina, you know, that it's the flavor is there. Maybe it's even stronger, you know. Once it, or do you say no? Once it's digested and then it's coming back up, so that's just digestive matter. That's not. I think Rav Yonason Sacks on Purim used to give a shir about the halachas of vomiting, and he would have like 25 nafkaminas from Gantz Shas about this must have been on his list. I don't know. Yeah.
If you would swallow the meat that you found in your teeth, would the clock start again?
Yeah. So that's right. That's part of the shiloh over here, right? If you hold that it loses the status of basar, that right? That was one of the nafkaminas. Right, if you hold that it loses the status of basar by from the time it's spent in between your teeth, so it's already broken down, you know, you hold like the Rambam, it's already 3 hours into it, so it's already 3 hours, you know, it's already half lost its status of basar. So then you would not start the clock again. Whereas if you hold like Rashi, the basar ben shnayim is still basar, and now you're eating it. Now you're taking it out and eating it. So then you would have to start the clock again.
Isn't the Rambam just meat until 6 hours?
So that's a question, right? That's meaning presumably there's something that's happening to it that's breaking it down and making it less potent. I was just reading a book about this, that in many things in life, you know, there's like this incremental, you know, working on something, and you see no results, and then all of a sudden, like a result, like when an earthquake happens, like. For the geologists would tell you for millions of years or whatever, for thousands of years, you know, these things are banging into each other, and then one day an earthquake happens. So it happened in one moment. No, it happened over all that time. So how do you tie up what happens at the 6 hour mark? Is it it's over time. It's slowly. I mean, just it just crosses that finish line after 6 hours. L'chora. There is a question how to do the math in general, which really shouldn't be a question if you think about it. Meaning, when does the clock start on the 6 hours, and when does the clock end on the 6 hours? So the Aruch HaShulchan and Sif Dalid writes, Vida, dehamtanas sheishos humi sof hasu'uda shel basar ad tchilas hasu'uda shel chalav. Va'af im be'ez haschalas hasu'uda lo yochal chalav, osha besof su'uda sa basar, lo achal basar, neshev gemara hikpidu misu'uda l'su'uda. He says, I don't know, forget any svaras. The Gemara says misuda l'suda. So if the Gemara says misuda l'suda, that's what you have to wait. So you have to wait from the time you finish one suda till you begin the next suda. So you're having a Shabbos lunch meal that has meat and chicken and challah and whatever. And then you sit around the table schmoozing, and people say the very Torah, and you sing Semiras, and you speak Lashon Hara, you do everything that people are supposed to do on the Shabbos lunch meal. And then it comes time for Mincha, and you finally bench right before Mincha. And then you want to have Malav Malka, you want to have pizza. Right? So, but it hasn't been 6 hours. It's been 6 hours since you've eaten meat, but it hasn't been 6 hours since you benched. Says Yoruch HaShulchan, no good. The Gemara says, Misu'udu L'suda. The 6 hours have to be from one su'uda to the other. Now that is an extraordinary chumrah, because Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Rambam, it doesn't make any sense, right? And Bein L'Plasi, whether even if it didn't digestion, it doesn't make any sense. And the Yoruch HaShulchan is pretty much acknowledging it doesn't make any sense. He says, I don't care that it doesn't make any sense. That's what the Gemara says. The din of the Gemara, the whole thing's a chumrah anyway. The whole din is obviously only a chumrah. It's not, you know, it's not based on any din d'oraisa. So just like 24 hours doesn't make any sense, misuda l'suda is a chumrah that also doesn't have to make any sense. Meaning it doesn't have to be perfectly logical. That's the harchaka midrabanan that they made. Now you could argue that it does make some sense. Meaning we were discussing yesterday that there are two ways to look at things. You could look at things from a time perspective or from a su'uda perspective, and that several Rishonim did look at it from a su'uda perspective, right? Why is it that you would have to bench in between? And the Ramaz Machmir for this, that you should have to bench in between. Why is it that you would have to bench in between? Because having b'su'uda sachada is a problem. So when you put two and two together, it could be that you land with such a chumrah that it's not only they can't be part of the same su'uda, but the su'udos can't be a trick, right? The fact that it's two su'udos has to be an obvious two su'udos. You know, it can't be like one of those shticky Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Shabbos figuring out a way to get in Shalosh Shudas. So, you know, you bench, you take a walk around the block, and you have another su'ud. That's not really another su'ud. It's the same su'ud. Everyone knows it's the same su'ud. So in order to really make it another su'ud, that's what the 6 hours are for. That's what he seems to be assuming. Now, the more standard approach is suggested by pretty much all the poskim. The Badei HaShulchan over here quotes from the Kaf HaChayim Shecholik al Zeh. This agrees with the Yoruch HaShulchan, the Savar, and he holds the Mahani Bein Gemar Achilas HaBasar L'Tchilas Achilas HaCholav, that it's between the finishing of the eating of the meat and beginning of the eating of the dairy. So even if you can have a Suda only 4 hours after you finish or 5 hours after you finish eating meat, but you know by the time you get, you'll have a vegetable soup, you'll wash in some bread. By the time you have, you get to the main, it's going to be 6 hours. By the time you have anything milchig in front of you, it's going to be 6 hours. That is totally fine. And the Badei HaShulchan points out that from the Shach, it sounds mefurish against the Aruch HaShulchan. Because the Shach writes that even if you waited 6 hours, you also need Sile Kubirech. Hamashma, the Sile Kubirech Mahani. But the clear implication is that, yeah, you also need Silek Ubirich, but if you have Silek Ubirich, then that's perfectly good. The Kav Chaim says you can count from when you finish eating meat, again, when you finish eating meat, till when you start eating milk. Badei HaShulchan points out, Shach sounds much more like the Kav Chaim, much less like the Aruch HaShulchan. Then there is a potentially a more lenient opinion. One second, let's just go through the three possibilities here. There's potentially a more lenient opinion, and that is the possibility, at least if you're going through logical possibilities, that maybe misuda l'suda means, is it, what's the 6 hours? Is 6 hours typically from when you end a suda till you begin the next suda, or do we assume 6 hours is between from when you start, you know, lunchtime is 1 o'clock, and dinner time is 7 o'clock? And I don't know how long lunch goes, depends on the day. I don't know how long dinner goes. But lunchtime is 1 o'clock and dinner time is 7 o'clock. So maybe su'uda l'su'uda means mitchilas su'uda rishon until tchilas su'uda shniya. So the Dagum Ravava, Nadvida and the Dagum Ravava, in his Dagum Ravava, proves that you cannot start the 6 hour count from the beginning of the fleshig meal. Shulchan Aruch says if you find meat in your mouth after waiting, you need to get rid of the meat that's in your mouth. So the Shach in Sifkat and Gimel quotes from the Ran that you don't need to wait a new 6 hours after removing it, just from when you ate it. And Dagum Ravava writes, Mikan mashma lahedya d'sheish sha'os haynu misof achilas habasar atchilas u'das hagavina. How do I see that? Sharei miduhut shuch lefari shein sarach lahamtin misha sira mashma avol misof achila kol panim sarach lahamtin. From the fact that he has to say that you don't need to start the new 6 hours when you remove the meat from between your teeth, but it does sound like from sof achila that far you do have to wait. I'll call parents of the hamdin. V'chein mulchach b'shorish hadin shabegemara. V'amri anab besuuda achrita achilna. He says, and that's the pashas of the Gemara. And he goes on to say, Maruk for waited misuuda l'suuda. We know, says the Dogma Ravava, that a suudas talmud chacham is mitchilas shishis. So he must finish his meal probably, most logically, by the end of the shishis, by the end of the sixth hour, which leaves exactly 6 hours from when he finishes eating until he begins eating the next meal, because the assumption is that it's at the end of the day, at the end of the 12 hours of the day, that's when he's going to eat his dinner. So if he finishes, if he starts his lunch, mitchila shah shishis, mistama says, you do the math, he finishes lunch at the end of the shah shishis, so that's why it's going to be 6 hours. So again, three logical possibilities. The possibility that's most machmir, that it's from the end of the suda to the beginning of the next suda. The Aruch HaShulchan brings that possibility. The other extreme is what the Dogma Ravava is bala afuke, that don't be so super makel and think that it counts from the beginning of one suda to the beginning of the next suda. And we assume, like the Rov HaPoskim, Kaf HaChaim and the Badei HaShulchan and others, the Mashmos of the Shach, that is from whenever you finished eating meat to whenever you actually start eating dairy. Yeah.
If someone is Dutch and they have a midnight grid an hour, and you assume like the post, and that's really based on Tosfos, so the they should go like Aruch HaShulchan and only count their hour from when they see like the Shulchan for us with invention.
Yeah, Lechora, if you would say that. Yeah, if you say that the idea of an hour is that's what demonstrates it's another Suda, then it would have to, I mean, it's not about anything that's happening in the Metzius in your mouth. It has to do with a clear, demonstrative, separate Suda. So the Chara, then yeah, you need
that.
Yeah, same issue, I think. Right, but I'm saying, okay. Right.
So then why should Birkas HaMazon be relevant?
I mean, there's a separate issue. In addition to the din of waiting, you also can't have milk and flesh, you get the same meal.
Okay.
Yeah. Any questions up there? Ooh, a bunch. What if someone still had Tom for a few days? Like after a very heavy meat meal, they might still be experiencing the Tom Basa. Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to say a little food, I guess. How do we pass in on the benching trick? Like, could you do this for winter Shalosh Shudas? If not, how much of a break would be needed? Yeah, so Poskim discussed this when it comes to Erev Pesach Shchalios Peshad. Is that this year? This year Erev Pesach in Lichon Shabbos? I don't know, I think so. So you'll hear 1,000 shiurim about that probably when it comes close to Pesach time. But I think the poskim generally recommend that you need to do something to be mafsik in between. You need to. Some suggest you should have one suda after shacharis, go daven musaf, and then come back and have another suda. You know, to do something meaningful in between, take a walk, do something. You know, there should be something meaningful in between. That's the famous, by the way, Erev Pesach Chalios B'Shabbos. So that's the famous comment of the Magen Avraham that you yotze b'divrei Torah. That yotze shalosh shudas b'divrei Torah. Everyone always quotes that and assumes they look all over Hilcha shalosh shudas and they can't find anywhere where Magen Avraham says it yotze b'divrei Torah. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out, no one ever would seriously say yotze b'divrei Torah. It's a clever way of saying that you're pater, from shalosh shudas, because you have no brevet, you have no etza of how to eat shalosh shudas. So he said, okay, so say divrei Torah, and that will be, neshama parmas vaseinu, so to speak. But, not that anyone is ever actually yotze with divrei Torah. But okay, yeah, we can, I guess, discuss that when that comes. Now, what if you're mesupuk? Now, this is obviously a very common case. You weren't watching the clock to know exactly when you finished your meal. So there is a sefer called Sefer HaKashrus. Anyone ever see that sefer? Black sefer? It was written by the same guy that wrote Halichos Bas Yisrael, and I think Tefila Kilchus. I think he wrote Tefila Kilchus also. So he writes these nice halachas for him, very useful halachas for him. And he writes in that sefer that Hamasupak im Avru Shei Shaos Me'oz Tomach Chilaso B'Sari Nechliku adeus im rashay lahakel v'lechol chalavi v'asamich lahakel k'shiyesh olivar lo hifsid. Now what would you say logically? You're not sure. It might be 6 hours, might not be. So what would you say logically? Sabi d'rabban l'kula, right? At most it's a d'rabban, it's not even, right? It's at most a d'rabban. So it's, you know, it's like a low level d'rabban, because it's like a chumrah on top of a d'rabban. So you would think that you would say Savik Drabbanan Lakula. However, the Yad Yehudas, quoted by the Darkei Tshuva over here, says that nope, you have to know for sure that it's been 6 hours. Why? So there's a concept we're going to get to in Hilchas Taroves, that it's a Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin. That the halach is, if you have a Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin, you have something that right now is Asr, but all you have to do is wait it out. Just give it some time, and it's going to be Mutter. So we don't say Savik Drabbanan Lakula on a Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin. We don't say Bittul on a Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin. Right? Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin is not subject to many of the kulas that we have for something that's always going to be Asr, which you might think is counterintuitive, right? You might say, well, wait a second. If it's something that's going to be Mutter, so then obviously it's not as bad of an Isser, because it's something that could even be Mutter. You might think that that's an indicator that maybe it's an Isser Kal and we should be more Megil. But no, the Svar of Dav Sheish Matirin Rashi writes in the beginning of Masechus Beitza is Ad Sheyachlenu Be'Isser, Yachlenu Be'Heter. Why would you rely on any kulas if you could just wait till it's Mutter? So have it when it's Mutter. Why would you eat something when it's Asr if you could have it when it's Mutter? So we don't rely on Savik Drabbanan Lakula when it comes to Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin. That's Beit Sadaf Dalid Amud Aleph. However, I remember when I was in Rabbi Ganak's Chabura for Yaradeya many years ago, he pointed out that you can take issue with this Yad Yehuda that the Darkei Tshuva quotes, based on a famous comment of the Tzlach in the beginning of Maseches Beitza. The Tzlach writes that you don't say Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin by Tiltul Muktza, right? You're not going to say, well, if you just wait till after Shabbos, it's not going to be Muktza anymore. So Melech it's Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin, and therefore, if it's a Suffolk Tiltul Muktza, something like that, it could be Mekel and Suffolk Drabbanan Lakula, something like, or on Bittul or something like that. He says you don't say it by Tiltul Muktza. Why? Because Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin applies to something that you can only have once. You're only going to use it once, and then it's gone. So, a beitza shenolda b'yomtov. I could eat it now on yontif, or I could wait till after yontif and eat it then. But I can't eat it at both times. So, achi yochlenu b'isr, yochlenu b'heter. Why have it now? Wait till it becomes mutter. That's where you have a svar of davar shiyesh lamatirin. But, says the Tzach, if it's something that just gets used and reused and reused and reused, and it doesn't get used up, it just gets used over and over again, the whole svar of achi yochlenu b'isr, yochlenu b'heter doesn't apply. You know, you're going to tell me don't use my laptop now because I could use it beheter if I wait an hour, if I wait another few hours. Yeah, I will. I'll use it beheter in a few hours, but I also want to use it now. Meaning that the hishtamshus of right now is not going to become mutter later on. That's a separate hishtamshus that I would have anyway. It's not a one-time thing, and therefore says Rabbi Ganak, maybe you could argue on the Yad Yehuda. Because it's not about, like, I want to eat this ice cream cone right now. And you tell me, no, don't eat it right now, eat it later. It's that I want to eat milchigs. Milchigs is, there's an unending supply. There's an infinite supply of milchigs in this world. And maybe I want to eat milchigs now, and I want to eat milchigs later. So it's more like a tiltul muktza davar shiyesh lamatirin, which is not a davar shiyesh lamatirin, and less like a beitza shenol d'biyomtov kind of Davar Shiyesh Lamatirin. That's the suggestion that Rabbi Ganak had. You could take issue with that. You could say that's not true. Meaning, the ice cream cone will get eaten up, and there isn't an infinite supply in your kitchen. You only have that ice cream cone that you're interested in eating. There's not an infinite capacity in your stomach either. You know, you're only going to eat X number of calories a day or whatever. I don't know. You know, it's somewhere in between, right? It's somewhere in between. So I hear that there's a debate about it. Rav Sablovsky Shlita likes to tell the story of when Sally was a teenager. Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, who we used to call Sally, I always thought that he was like 6 years older than me, because like when I was in high school, he was friends with all the Smicha guys and like the Kol Elyon guys. So like when I was in like 10th grade, he was like friends with like Rabbi Sobolovsky and Rabbi Simon. And it turns out he's my age. he's just a genius. So when Rabbi Sobolovsky said right after he got married, he invited Sally over for a meal. And Rebetzin Sobolovsky made brownies. And obviously, if you're having an einikul of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, you have to be very makbid that you don't have any chadash, that everything should be yashan. And the Rebbetzin realized that although she did buy yashan flour, she emptied out the chadash flour from her flour bin and then, without cleaning it out, put in the new yashan flour. But she didn't really clean it out. She didn't clean out the bin. So there was some chadash flour that probably got mixed in with the yashan flour, a very small amount. So lechora should be batel. It's batel b'shishim, so it should be batel. But it's a davar sheyesh lamatirin, right? So because if it's chadash, just wait, then it will become yashan. So it's a davar sheyesh lamatirin. So when the Rebbetzin said, "Oh, you know, I didn't clean out the things," Rabbi Sobolovsky said, "That's a good shaila." Rabbi Soloveitchik, at the age of 16 or so, said, "No, my grandfather said we only have to be machmir about chadash midaraisa, but the fact that a davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel is only a din derabanan. So mele, it's really only chadash midrabanan. So we don't have to be machmir." So right like that, he paskin that he was allowed to eat the brownie. So that's the discussion with Davar Sheyesh
Lamatirin. We also say that this Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin apply when it's on the gav right now in Tefta. Meaning here, the milk is much like everyone else, it's just me.
That's a good question. When we learn the Sukkot Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin, meaning there are other things like that, right? Is Tevel Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin? Tevel is also for everybody. But, Heklish and Iftis, Truma. Yeah.
In the case that we're talking about where you have the bread in the oven with meat, and we say that even though we have a lot of milk, and on the left, with the deprivation of nutrition, you use milk. It's the same thing, no?
Meaning that it's mutter for other people.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess we do say it like that. But I guess part of what Rabbi Gedak is arguing is that, you know, this is that it's not really davar sheyesh lamatirin because it's just about the gavra also. I mean it's not really about the item itself, it's about the gavra. That's probably part of his discussion. Good. Any other questions in there? With the time waiting between aged cheese and meat, we'll get to aged cheese. We're not there yet. Micah, hang in there. Now, before we get to aged cheese, another discussion. Okay, so far, what did we do today? Remember, we did the nafkaminas, Rashi and the Rambam, right? Five potential nafkaminas in Rashi and the Rambam, why it's okay to be machmir for both deos. And then we discussed what do you do in cases of safek. And cases of safek, we pointed out davar sheyesh lamatirin, whether it makes sense to apply davar sheyesh lamatirin to something like this, something where you can have milchus anyway, now and later. So now the next thing I want to talk about is how long does a child have to wait? This is one of the more popular shilas that I get. There's one woman that emails me every year on her children's birthday. Now my child is 7. Now how long should they wait? Now my child is 8. How long should they wait? I don't think there's an exact science. You know, at some point you have to be a parent and you have to recognize when the kid is ready for it. But there are some generalities that the poskim talk about, because this is a shaila that does come up in poskim. In general, whenever we talk about feeding something machalas asuros to a child, there are always three issues that need to be dealt with. There's always the issue of timtum alev, that if you give something non-kosher to a child or to anybody, there's a concern of timtum alev. There's the issue of the sugi and yivamus kufi gimel kufi dalet of los achilim, that you're not allowed to be ma'achil, to actively feed a davar asur to a child. And then, of course, there's the inyan of chinuch. So you always have to navigate your way around all three of those things. Now, pashtus over here, there's not going to be any timtum alev, meaning you're feeding a child milchig 2 hours after he ate fleshig. It's not timtum alev because there's nothing inherently asur. It's not a cheftza shel iser. Right, that's what half the Rishonim say by Yisurim D'Rabbanon, since it's not a Nisuch Heft, it's only a Nisuch Gavra, there's not going to be Timtum Alev. You know, to be Machil and Yom HaKippur, maybe he's not going to be Timtum Alev because it's only his Bizman Isser, it's not something that's fundamentally Isser. But you have to discuss whether Los Hachilim applies. Like, you know, when they caught that fellow that was being Machil in the Velos and Shreifus in Muncie a number of years ago, so there was a big tumult. Does everyone have to? You guys are probably very young. I don't know if you know this Maisa, but there was a Maisa. He was like the most popular butcher in Muncie. Everyone went to him. Everyone shopped at his store. He supplied the chickens to one of the major Frum wedding halls in Muncie, and then they found that he was selling the veils and shreifas. So it's a very painful piece of history in the Muncie community. You know, I once discussed this in terms of a tshuva, you know, in terms of a tshuva discussion. If a person does tshuva, can you say, okay, so, you know, don't hold it against him anymore, he did tshuva. Someone from Muncie was in the shir and came over to me and said, you can't ever forgive him. Like, it was like so painful to them that they can't ever, you know, even though l'chora, based on the, you know, based on the way tshuva works, we can't erase his averus. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam could do that. But a person who is pasul le'edus, who violated all sorts of yisurim, can become kasher le'edus again. Like there are, the Gemara talks about that, the Feresh and the Sefer Sanhedrin. There are ways to do that, to regain a sense of ne'amanus. Rav Asher Weiss pointed out that there are tshuvas in the Gaonim that say that if a number of years pass by, and you see that the person seems to be behaving and seems to regret what they did, so then you have to treat them like a bal tshuva. You don't always assume the worst. But anyway, when that happened, so people were discussing whether they have to, you know, whether they have to kasher their kelim, what sort of hezek was done. So Rabbi Luban Shlita wrote an article in the Masora Journal, and he thought, I think his whole discussion was around Timtum Alev. To what extent has damage been done based on Timtum Alev? Meaning, an Avera, you didn't do any Avera, it was Ba'ones. You were relying on a very good Ashkacha, and you were relying on the fact that there's an Erlich guy, seemed like an Erlich guy. So you didn't do any Avera, but Timtum Alev is independent of any Avera. But anyway, when it comes to how long a child should wait, so Rav Sturmbach has a tshuva about this, and he writes that the Isser of Los Achilim doesn't apply to feeding a child milchig after eating flesh, because it's true that you're not allowed to, but it's not a cheftz of ma'acholos asuros. It's just an extra geder around the yisur. This is in Shuvus van Hagos Chelik Aleph Simin Tuf Lamed Hey. And so there's no isur of los achilim, and certainly no isur of timtum alev. Rav Vosner has a tshuva in Shevet Alevi Chelik Dalid Simin Pei Dalid, where Rav Vosner basically divides it up into two categories. He's younger children and older children. So when it comes to younger children, Rav Vosner paskins, that you don't have to wait at all. Young children have a status of a chola, and when we get into the exceptions of when you don't have to wait, one of the exceptions is probably a chola. That a chola doesn't have to wait the period of time, so any young child has a din of a chola. Till what age does a child have a din of a chola? Right, certainly if a child is 3-4 years old, has a din of a chola, and you don't have to wait at all. Older children, which Rav Vosner does not clearly define what is older, certainly not like the modern Orthodox definition of older, right? Like, at what point does a kid have to start keeping Shabbos or whatever, Shana Bet, you know? Like, that's not his definition. But I think my computer is about to shut down because of no power. Is there an outlet somewhere here? All the way over there. Yeah, let's move the. Let's move the thing. I just want to. So when it comes to older children who certainly do not have the status of the chola, so that needs a little more machmir. Sorry. Okay. So when it comes to just a whole different angle. Okay. When it comes to older children, this way. Sorry. Yeah. So Rav Vazner, again, he doesn't clearly define it, but he quotes an interesting comment to the Meiri. That the Meiri, the Meiri points out that the Gemara says Marukva said that lisudasa lisudasa. So he says it could be that it really is maker adin dependent on su'uda and how often you eat. And children have a tendency to eat more su'udos more frequently, smaller su'udos, but more frequently. So it could be that even if you're following the ikar adin, meaning even if the child is at the age of chinuch and you want to be mechanech with all the details, it could be that the details are adjusted based on that. Especially if you're Ashkenazi and you hold that the whole 6 hours is only a chumrah to begin with. Rav Vazner is not sure about that, based on the fact that the 6 hour waiting period is something that we do regardless of what our eating habits are. But he thought for children we could at least be mekel like that svara of the Meiri. There's also an interesting tshuva in the Be'er Moshe, where he further breaks it down, and he says, below the age of 3, no waiting period, just clean out his mouth. Why do you have to clean out his mouth? Because you want to make sure that he's not actually ingesting meat and milk at the same time, because that might be an issue of timtum alev, even, if he's actually ingesting meat and milk at the same time. Once he's 3 years old, then you should have him wait an hour, and then gradually increase him until he turns 6. And then a 6-year-old, you should try to have him wait 6 hours, but you could go easy on him if he throws a fit until he turns 9. And then when he's 9, then even if he throws a fit, you say, that's it. Once you've reached that age, then it's too late. Now, the idea of making a 3-year-old wait an hour is a little bit difficult, because the issue is one of chinuch, and it seems that a 3-year-old, lechora, is below the age of chinuch for that mitzvah. Right? What is the age of chinuch? So the age of chinuch depends. The Gemara says beferish in Maseches Sukkah, Maseches Menachos, that the age of chinuch depends on each and every mitzvah. That each mitzvah, Maseches Erechim, that each mitzvah that you do, the age of chinuch is going to change, right? What's the age of chinuch for tzitzis? K'shiyodeh lis atif. What's the chinuch for tefillin? K'shiyodeh lishmar guf naki. Those aren't the same age. Right? What's the age of chinuch for lulav kshiyadeh l'naneya? Right, I've pointed out in the past, which means like most of the adults aren't yet chayv and lulav. They don't know how to do the nanum properly. But when you're able to do, the Bris Kerav points out, when a child is able to do a mitzvah min amuvchar, that's the age of chinuch. So when it comes to yisurim also, l'chara, the age of chinuch is when he's a bar hachi to be prepared for those yisurim. Rav Shechter explained that probably what the 1 hour idea is based on, if he didn't think that we have to be machmir for a 3-year-old to wait an hour, but he said it's probably based on that Zohar that the Bir Agra quoted, that Shaita Chad is considered that you're reading it together. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in a different sefer, there's a sefer called B'Mechitzas Rabbeinu. You familiar with that sefer? Mechitzas Rabbeinu. There was a it's like a Nefesh HaRav for Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So some Talmud put together like his Hanhagos stories, that kind of thing. So it's not a biography, it's like an intellectual biography, it's like a biography of his Shitos. It's similar to a Nefesh HaRav, but it wasn't written by Rav Shechter, obviously, so it doesn't have the same authority. But anyway, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Mechitzas Rabbeinu thought that feeding a child within 1 hour is los achilin, which would apply even to an infant. I mean, that applies even to the youngest of children. You're not allowed to feed macholos asuros to a child of any age. So that's as far as children are concerned. Anything else about children? Let's leave it at that as far as children. I once wrote an article about this in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society about kashrus for children. So I have a whole section over there. If you want more Mar Makomas, you can look there. Okay. That does seem to work with that assumption. Yeah. What if, and this I guess will be our last discussion for today, what if you already started? Meaning, Sefer HaKashrus writes, Misha achu b'sari, u'b'terem chalfu sheishos, hischil lishtos alecho b'ta'ut chalavi. You started eating milk. So now what? Now are you treif? right? What if you ate hard cheese? Yeah, so you had a bite of hard cheese like 2 minutes after you finished the fleishig meal. Do you say, okay, well, the hard cheese took away the flavor of the meat, and I can now I'm milchik? Or so he writes, yafsik miyad v'yadiach es piv heitev. Stop and rinse out your mouth, and you still got to wait the 6 hours. L'chora, that might be enough kamina between Rashi and the Rambam, right? That if you hold that like Shitas Rashi, that it's about the strong pungent flavor, so it could be that it's overpowered by a stronger, more recent flavor. But if you hold this basav in a shinayim, so l'chora, eating paru food doesn't take care of the basav shabin a shinayim, so eating milchik food won't take care of the basav shabin a shinayim. Either way, you'd have to be machmir. So in that case, you probably have to be machmir. Yeah, fine. Any questions up here? Anyone have a link to that article? I'm sure you can find it online. It's probably on Why You Total also. The what? Oh, some questions before. Okay.
Micah.
The age, and always be the same as you know. We've dealt with that. We'll get to that. See, also, Machlok is Rashman and Rithman, Erevim, not using Yusuf Rabbanah for Erevim. Oh, okay. Dov, you doing Daf Yomi, or you just happen to have the keys and we show them in Erevim? Okay. All right. Good. Good. What if you said a bracha on milchik food within 6 hours? So this is a fascinating topic. I wrote about this as well in the first volume of Hakona Olamo, but in a slightly different context. The shaila was Rabbi Kamenetsky Shlita was. Giving a shiur one Friday morning, gives a shiur to Balabatim every Friday morning, and Kedarko, he was getting very animated and very into it, and he started to cough a little bit. His mouth was a little bit dry, and you know, back in those days, if you cough, they didn't throw you out of shul. So you know, someone went to get him a cup of water. One of Balabatim ran out to get him a cup of water. So he said, thank you very much. And he said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro. And then right before he was about to drink it, he remembered that it was Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves was on a Friday that year. It was a Friday morning shir. He remembered it was a fast day. So what do you do in that situation? So that comes up in a number of different contexts, right? That comes up over there. In the case of a fast day, you said a bracha comes up between milchigs and fleishigs and milchigs. You said a bracha and milchigs. Within 6 hours of fleishigs, it comes up if you said a bracha on food before Havdalah, that it's already end of Shabbos and you didn't say Havdalah yet, and you said a bracha on food. But each case might be different, because the one thing that they have in common, the one thing that you have to look at is what exactly is the status of bracha levatala. How serious of nisir is bracha levatala? Does this qualify as a bracha levatala if at the time that you said the bracha you thought you were going to eat? Does that make it a bracha levatala? And to what extent does Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ve'ed fix bracha levatala, or is it just sort of mitigate, but not really fix the issue? That's common to all of these cases. And then you have to discuss, okay, how bad is it to eat on a fast day? How bad is it to eat milchigs within 6 hours of fleishigs? How bad is it to eat before Havdalah? Right, because if you're dealing with a triage situation where something's got to give, so then you have to figure out which iser is worse. Right? Let's say a person is a discussion in poskim. Let's say you wash nitzilas yudayim for a seuda, and you come to the table after you wash, and you say bracha al nitzilas yudayim, because you're at a restaurant and the bread looks delicious. It looks like you want to have the bread, and then when you get to the table, someone says, "Oh, the bread is stale. It's disgusting." Save your stomach space for the meat or whatever. So do you have to eat the bread because you washed? Do you say it's a bracha levatala? You say al nitzil sedayim for nothing if you don't eat the bread? Or do you say no? At the time that I said al nitzil sedayim, I think the Ritva writes that at the time you said al nitzil sedayim, you were intending fully, honest to goodness, trying to say the proper bracha. So then it's not a bracha levatala. Later on, something else. You're not mechuyev to eat just because you said an al nitzil sedayim. At that time, it was not a bracha levatala. This is a little bit different because the al nitzil sedayim is somewhat separate from the achila, whereas over here this is a bracha on the achila itself. So this is a fascinating topic. I don't know if we'll discuss it or not, but you can look at my sefer and see what I have to say about it. I don't know if we'll discuss it. There's a lot of other stuff. So maybe we'll finish up some petas on Wednesday, and if we have extra time at the end, we'll go back to discuss it. How about that? That will be the Mahalik. Okay? So everyone have a great day.